Did you miss church this weekend? Was the sermon so good you wanted to hear it again? Welcome to the Hope Tri-Cities Sermon Podcast.
Hey, I like that she had everybody say hi to someone and wish them a Merry Christmas. Can I have you do something as well for me? Can I have you guys look to your neighbor and tell them how nice they look today? There you go. Good job. All right, now look to you, the neighbor on your other side, the one that you don't think looks as good as the other person, and say, I'm sorry that I didn't say that you were good looking at first, and apologize. Hey, I'm so honored that we are celebrating Christmas together. I love this. It's a tradition that we do every year. It's a great thing for us to do, and I love that we get to do this. For some of us, it's an annual rhythm, and for a lot of us in this room, and last service also, it's like a weekly thing. We gather together on a Sunday morning, and we celebrate Jesus together. And one of the things that I think is important to acknowledge too is for some of you in here, this is not a regular thing. Maybe it's a foreign thing to you, and I just want to say welcome. Our goal is to create like a home and a family for us, and that probably sounds weird, but that's our goal. Either way, we're honored that you're here today. Today we're going to be talking about a question that I have for everyone. And the question is this: what are you hoping for this Christmas? What are you hoping for this Christmas? It might be not just Christmas, but it might be for the year that's coming. And I don't know, some of you, maybe you can raise your hand. How many of you are the kind of people that you've had a list of things that you want, and you know what you want since August, and it's like detailed and prioritized? No one in here? There's one over there, two, three. Okay, there's a couple. And for me, I don't know, maybe you're like me. I don't really know. I'm still trying to figure out what I want. Not necessarily things or stuff or material goods for the Christmas season, but I'm trying to figure out what is God trying to do in my life for this coming year? What is he wanting to do in me and through me? That's what I'm trying to figure out, and I don't know. And that's okay if you're the list person or you're the I don't know person. It's okay, but my hope and my prayer is that God will meet every single one of us and help us answer the question of, God, what are you doing in our lives this year? What are you doing in our lives this Christmas? And I think this question, though, it creates tension. I don't know about you, but for me, it does. When I think of things like that, like, what do you want? It creates a little bit of tension because, man, I don't know if I should want that because what if it doesn't happen? Right? It's this, what if I'm disappointed? I don't want to be disappointed. And so I think a lot of us, we wrestle with that. How many of you guys have ever been disappointed? You wanted something to happen and you were disappointed. A lot of us in here. I remember a while back, I was, when we first started the church, my wife and I and a couple of families, we started a church called New Life Church, and we would gather in a middle school. And for several years, I spent disappointed about certain aspects of the church. One of them is we couldn't find a place to meet other than like going to a middle school. We had this big trailer. We'd drive around. I had this old Ford pickup truck, and it was rusted up. But I don't know how it was. It was only by the grace of God that it was able to pull that trailer. But it was this long trailer, and we called it I called it Church in a Box. Because we had all our stuff inside this trailer, all the children's things, all their sound equipment, all the stuff. We'd unload it real quick, set it all up in the cafeteria, and do our church service, and then pull it back up together, and we were gone. And I remember, God, please let us find a place that we can call home, where we don't have to do this, where we can actually spread out and actually have classrooms for kids and all that stuff. And even though it was a lot of work, it was also a lot of fun, but there was some disappointment in me. I was disappointed year after year. I found six or seven different places that I thought, okay, we had saved up some money, and I thought, okay, maybe if we could pull a trigger on this one, and it always didn't pan out. For six or seven times, I was disappointed. And we met at a theater for one summer, and it was kind of fun initially, but then we had to work around some things. We used the hallways as classrooms for the kids, and the big promotional things, that the posters that they have, we'd use that as like barriers. But a lot of times the promotional things had pictures of like monsters and like people making out, or like, yeah, they're promoting the movies, right? And so we had to cover them up. And every once in a while you'd hear a scream come out from the hallway because some kid saw a crazy clown or a monster or something like that. And so we just had to get some counseling for those kids, but they're okay. But year after year, there was disappointment that happened. It reminds me of that verse in Proverbs chapter 13 where it says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." Have you heard that verse? And so there was disappointment. There was this longing. There was this hope, and it just never really turned up. And I think some of us, if we're honest with ourselves, and it looks like you are, just based on when people raise their hands, some of you know what hope deferred feels like, even during Christmas time. Some of you, maybe there's a longing in your heart that you wish was fulfilled, and it hasn't yet. Or maybe you're walking through this family tension, or there's relational tension, or maybe you saw yourself walking down the aisle and it didn't happen, all these different things where you thought something was going to be a certain way, but it wasn't. And you have this hope deferred, this thing that's causing your heart to feel sick. Maybe you got a job, you got a new job, you're excited, you get this workplace, you're excited about it, but then there's people that work there that you don't like, right? And there's tension, and you're like, man, this is really difficult to be here. So we know there's hope deferred. It can make the heart feel sick. Financially, emotionally, relationally, all these different things, physically, we know what it is to have hope deferred and to be disappointed. So I think we can all relate to this, right? And we had hope deferred about not finding a church building. And then 2017, a pastor comes up to me, that pastor of this church, his name is John Brandstetter. It was called Columbia Foursquare Church, and I had no idea. This came out of nowhere, and I've known him for years at that point. He says, "Hey, I'm retiring. Would you please pray and consider to merge your church with our church, and you'd be the senior pastor, and I would step away, and then your church, your people have a building." And I was thinking, oh my goodness, I hadn't even thought of that. I had not even conceived of that. It wasn't even a thought in my mind. And I say that because I want to encourage you this evening that there's going to be things that God sees that you cannot see. He's going to have things, he has a greater vantage point than we do. And so he's able to see things around the corner that we're not able to see. And so wherever you are, where you feel like you are today, if your heart is feel sick, or you feel like there's this, your hope has been deferred, God sees you. He knows you. He's with you. He sees you around the corner. He sees what's around the corner. And it's very possible that the very next thing, the very next part of this verse, I love this, it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. Isn't that beautiful? So that we experienced that verse the first 6-7 years of the church. It was a heart deferred, a sick heart, or hope deferred, a sick heart. And then the next few years, it was like this tree of life. It was life-giving. It's so life-giving when we hope for something and that hope is fulfilled. That longing in our heart is fulfilled and met. So I'm going to ask you again, what are you hoping for this Christmas? What are you hoping for this year, this coming year? What is God trying to say to you? Or if maybe there's people in here that's saying, I don't know. I don't even know if God is speaking to me. I don't know. But what are you hoping for? We started this evening with a little bit of the Christmas story. There's some scripture reading and some of the songs. We're pulling this thing together. We're kind of on this journey together, getting to see the scene of Christmas. We see Mary and Joseph, the birth of Jesus. We have these shepherds that saw this, these host of angels come down and share this incredible news to them. And then they had a big concert, right? And now we see the baby sleeping in a manger. And so this Christmas story, I mean, people have been reading this for the last 2,000 years, and it brings great hope and great expectation. What is it causing in your life? Is it bringing hope and expectations in your life? I think it's important for us to kind of wrestle with that. If you're like me and you can't find something quite yet, it's good to wrestle with that and sit alone with God in that. But I do think, even if you can't find anything right on your own, I think even for all of us right now, regardless of where we are in our journey with God, whether we've been walking with Jesus for a long time, or it's been a long time since we walked with Jesus, or we're exploring this topic of being a follower of Jesus, I think all of us can come to the same conclusion. I think that one thing we can look to is an expectation of actually having hope in our lives, a hope of hope. One of the things that we can be certain about because of what Jesus did is that we can have hope. And as we look at the story of Christmas, there's one story that kind of, the part of the story that gets missed sometimes. It's a little bit after Jesus is born. We see a couple, you fast forward a couple days. Sometimes we miss this, but I think it's an important part of Christmas. That we're going to find three areas we can find hope in our lives this Christmas. And here they are. I'm going to read them to you real quick, and then we'll walk through each one of them. One of them is we can have hope that the past does not have the final word in our story. We can have hope that God is doing something new. And we can have hope that each of us have a part to play in God's bigger story. So the first one is the past does not have the final word. There's been so many times where I thought, man, I don't know what, man, I made so many mistakes. Why would God even use me? Like, why would he consider me? Maybe you thought that as well. You wondered, man, because of what I've done or haven't done, or because of things that have happened to me, maybe I'm not experiencing all the things that God has for me. And I think Christmas helps us resolve that. Jesus came to be with us. And he says, man, I want to help you put the past away so you can continue to walk forward. Part of your heart is, your hope is deferred, but I want to take you, I'm coming down to be with you, to offer you hope and joy and grace and peace. Will you walk with me? One of the coolest parts of the Christmas story that we sometimes miss, if we go down to verse 25 in Luke chapter 2, again, the shepherds have visited, everyone's come and gone. The shepherds went off and started telling everybody about Jesus being born and what the angels did and said to them. And now Mary and Joseph take Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem to be presented before the Lord. It was part of their tradition. And so they take him to the temple and they meet this ordinary man. His name is Simeon. Look at verse 25. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him. He was waiting for the Messiah to rescue Israel. What does that mean? Okay, so I think it's really important for us to understand this. When you look at the Bible, you see the Old Testament and then the New Testament. The Old Testament is the time before Jesus, and the New Testament is the time where Jesus is born, and then the early church and on. And that gap in between, a lot of times it looks like one page for us. For the Israelites, it represents 400 years. There's 400 years of silence for the Israelites. So when we look at this, we see there's this gap, this huge section of time where the Israelites are wondering, what is God doing? He hasn't said anything since Micah, since the Old Testament. History tells us, even though the Bible doesn't tell us, history tells us that during that time, I think it's important for us to understand this as well, during that time, those 400 years, the Israelites had been under occupation by the Romans and other countries, so they were being oppressed for these 400 years. So during those 400 years, they would have this prayer, this ongoing prayer, God, rescue us. 400 years, people praying the same prayer over and over, please rescue us, bring us redemption, bring us freedom. And Simeon, he's praying the same prayer that his dad had prayed, that his grandfather prayed, that his great-grandfather prayed for 400 years. All of them went to the grave not having answered that prayer answered. Can you imagine that? Hope deferred makes a heart sick. How many of you are Mariner fans in here? Like three of you? You kind of know what it feels like. They've never made it to the big dance, right? It's been hope deferred makes the heart sick, right? Okay, if you're a Seattle Seahawks fan, They've never had a good offensive line. That makes my heart sick. There's a longing in my heart for them to have a good offensive line and to protect their quarterback, right? So we kind of know a little bit, just a tiny bit, just a little smidge of what the Israelites are feeling here, what they're feeling here, right? Simeon is praying, and he continues to pray for this hope. And Simeon did not let the past, check this out, he did not let the past define his reality. Even though for 400 years that prayer had not been answered, he continued to pray, and he continued to look forward, say, God, I want to see you. I want to see you, the Messiah. And then one day he hears from the Lord. He says, You're not gonna die before you see the Messiah, the rescuer of Israel. I think a lot of times when we've been stuck in something for a long period of time, we think nothing's gonna change, so we just give up and we capitulate to it. We say, okay, I roll over. I give up, uncle. Right? And what Simeon teaches us and what the word of God teaches us is the past does not have the final word. He could have allowed the disappointment to determine where his hope landed, but it wasn't the past. His hope was in God's promises, and there's something in there that was saying, no, I'm going to continue to hope for this. So whatever you're struggling with, whether it be addiction or depression or anxiety or fear or wanting to control things or shame from the past, your past does not define your future. It does not have the final word. But because in a flash, God can change everything. For me, I thought there's some tapes that I played as a kid over and over in my head. I was told I was worthless. I was meaningless, I had no purpose. I was told all kinds of nasty things. But there was something in there, something inside of me said, no, there is a little bit of hope. And I think God put a little bit of hope, a little bit of faith inside of me. Because the moment I took that little morsel of faith, I said, okay, God, I don't understand everything. I don't know everything, but I'm gonna take the step of faith. The moment that happened, my life began to change. It was his doing, his love, his grace, his everything was pursuing me. And I just said, okay, I just did a little bit of this. Okay, I surrender. My past does not have to define me. The words spoken over me do not have to define me. Same with you. Right? So that's number one. Number two is we can have hope that God is doing something new. Everyone say something new. Okay. So it says in verse 26, back to Simeon here. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I've seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel, Jesus. Oh, Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Okay, so let's think about this for a moment. And day after day, Simeon is like, today's the day. Today's the day I'm gonna see the Messiah. Today's the day. And every day he thought, okay, I'm gonna see him. He had this faith about him, right? He's looking. Where am I gonna see? So is God gonna reveal him today to me? Here's the thing about Simeon and the Israelites. Not very many people in the nation of Israel expected to see the Messiah show up as a humble little baby, born in a poor place in Israel. Very few of them expected that. Even though we see a lot of clues and prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament, a lot of people, what they thought that the Messiah would show up as a political revolutionary. They thought he would show up with power and stomp on the Roman control over them. That's what they thought. They said, he's going to set us free. We're going to be redeemed. We're going to prosper. This is who we're going to be. They thought it was going to be like Moses, when Moses rescued he freed the Israelites from under the Pharisees, or excuse me, the Pharaohs, the Egyptians and Pharaoh, not the Pharaohs. But so they thought that's how he's going to show up, that he's going to come with power and strength and he's going to free them. And in the midst of all that, Simeon somehow sees, nah, God is doing something new. He's doing something different. I did not expect this, But the Messiah is here as a small baby child. And it's not what I didn't want it this way. I don't think Simeon wanted it this way. He wanted to see freedom. Everything changed, but it did not happen the way that he wanted it to. So I want to encourage us this evening in this, and this is for me as well. Maybe you've been praying for something over and over and over. You've been praying God to answer certain prayers. What if the way he's answering those prayers are not exactly the way that you expected them or the way that you wanted them to be answered? Would you still accept that? A lot of people rejected the Messiah because he didn't show up the way they wanted. Will you reject what God is doing in your life? If he says, I'm going to answer your prayer, but it's not exactly the way that you want it. I want us to think about that for just a moment. Again, as a kid, I was longing for purpose. I was longing for meaning. And there was this little thing inside of me. I don't know if I believe those tapes that say that I'm worthless or that I have no meaning. So there's this longing to do something worthwhile. And then God shows up in my life. I didn't even know anything about ministry. I didn't know anything about, like, I didn't care about church. I didn't care about any of those things. And God says, you matter. You're going to be in a relationship with me. And you have a purpose. You're going to lead others. You're going to shepherd other people towards me. And I thought, oh my gosh, he's calling me to be a priest. You know, it terrified me initially, but then I started figuring things out. But what if, I don't think he does that to everybody, calls people into ministry like full time at that, but what if the answers he has for you are not exactly what you want? That's hard. Because I know, I've seen people, and I'm looking at everybody here because I've seen people, I watch people walk away from God and walk away from church and family because God didn't answer them exactly with the way that they wanted. God is not some cosmic vending machine. You plug in the numbers and then you get what you're asking for. That's not how it works. I love what Romans chapter 8 says. And we know that God, because and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. When I look at this, it reminds me that there is no limit to the ideas and solutions God has for the problems we're dealing with today. He's got so many more ideas and so many more solutions for the things that we say, I think this is the only way through. God's already working on a solution before we even know that there's a problem, right? I heard someone say, it's really hard to surprise an omniscient God. So I don't know what you're hoping for today. I don't know where you need redemption in your story, but God is doing something new. Say something new. He's doing something new. What is he up to? He does new things in our lives. That's what he does. Our job is to do what Simeon did, is to be on the lookout for that answered prayer. And it may look completely different than what everybody else expected. Can we do that? Amen. All right, so that's two. So hope that the past doesn't have the final word. We have hope that God is going to do a new thing, and we have hope that we have a part to play in the whole thing, in this whole big story that he has for us. I'm always amazed at the fact that God would include us. Like he invites us. He says, hey, I'm doing this thing. This is a big thing. Will you come with me? He invites us. He's like, come on, let's go. And then a lot of times it's like, man, God, you know me. You know my past. You know where I've been disobedient. You know where I've been. He says, no, come on, let's do this. I want to do this with you. Let's walk together. And does that because of his grace, his love. He does that because he says, I want relationship with you in a story of redemption, not just for you, but for those around you. And I want to include you in that. We see this with Simeon. Again, Luke chapter 2, verse 34 and 35. It says, then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, the child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He's been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. He's saying that to Mary. I'm glad that God used Simeon in this story. Right, this is ordinary man praying the same prayer for a long time, praying for redemption over Israel and the freedom of Israel. And he wakes up one morning, again, God says, guess what? I want you to be a part of this story. You're going to meet the Messiah, and you're going to bless Jesus. You're going to do these things. I want you to be a part of this. This ordinary man doing something that's extraordinary. He blesses Mary, blesses Joseph, blesses Jesus, God himself, and then he provides a prophetic word for them. And what he says, I won't go into this very long, but he says the child is destined to cause many to fall and many to rise and others to rise. The bottom line summary with that is that because of our own pride, because of our own arrogance, because of our own desire to do things on our own and to figure things out by ourselves, we are liable to miss what God is doing in our lives. We see it all over the Old Testament. We see it all over the New Testament. We see the verses that say, God opposes the proud and he gives grace to the humble. Part of what we can learn from seeing this Christmas story and how Jesus shows up as this little baby is that if we are able to humble ourselves and embrace the things that God is bringing to us on his own terms, he's going to take us on a journey and an adventure that we never thought we could ever imagine or ask for. And he's going to transform our lives. And he's going to use our lives to help other people come to know Jesus. So, what are you hoping for this Christmas? I'll have the worship team coming up. What are you hoping for this Christmas? What are you expecting for this year? Again, the question is kind of scary. And my prayer is that no matter where you are, no matter where we are with our walk with Jesus, that we experience the hope that he offers. Even if we know him a little bit or a lot of it, that we experience the hope that he offers. Right? A lot of us know this. He came as a baby. He grew up to be a man. He lived a sinless life. And ultimately and willingly, he allowed himself to be crucified for our sins. He paid the price for our sins. And so because of that, God sees us. And when we say, I'm surrendering my life to you, Jesus, I'm giving you my life. When we say, okay, Lord, I'm putting my trust in you. When we say that, God is able to see us and says, you're righteous and holy. Because God sees us in light of Jesus, what Jesus has done for us on the cross. So I don't know where you've been. Maybe you've experienced that hope, and maybe you haven't. But I know that most of you raised your hand when I said, "Have you experienced disappointment?" And some of us have experienced disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. And I would encourage you. You don't have to do that by yourself. It's gonna be difficult. There could be hope even in that disappointment, and you don't know what God sees just around the corner. A lot of times those disappointments happen because you say, I got this, God. I don't need you. And God says, please walk with me. I got something around the corner. He's preparing something for you, something much greater than we can ever think or imagine. Right? Our past doesn't have the final word. He's doing something new. He's already got a solution for you. And he says, I'm inviting you to play a role in this whole thing of redeeming the world. Come join me in what I'm doing. Let's go into other people's lives.